For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This is Hunter Henry, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, we continue to have free agency rolling along, even though it feels like it's starting to kind of peter out before the new league year even starts. We do have a couple signings today that I wanted to get to before we start turning our attention to the best ball cheat sheet. And as I've continued testing this thing, some players that I've noticed that appear to be good values later in these drafts, some must draft sleepers and all the rest. But before we get started with that, let's go over some of these new signings since we were on yesterday.
I think the one that caught my attention the most was someone you just talked about before we got on the show, was Kenneth Gainwell going to the Steelers. Gainwell's been a guy that we track back to Memphis and kind of came in the iteration of Antonio Gibson, Kenneth Gainwell, Antonio Gibson, and Gainwell was, to me at least, viewed as like the best runner of the football coming out of Memphis, and he hasn't really gotten a pure opportunity in Philadelphia. So I kind of just wonder what your thoughts are when you add a Gainwell to that Jaylen Warren backfield versus the NFL draft upcoming as well.
I think we're still – you know, we're still kind of on the Aaron Rodgers watch, and it feels like he's now having to decide between the Giants and the Steelers, last I checked. And what was interesting, too, was in the reporting from, who was that? Mike Garofalo, I forget. Ralph Vacchiano. Did I read it wrong, saying that he was also hoping that there might be interest come in from the Vikings?
I thought I read something this morning that said that Rodgers – there's so much reporting coming across it, but the Vikings definitely probably have a little bit of interest there.
Why?
I think that theory has been pushed out because of the most obvious, which is the Brett Favre thing, right? Brett Favre goes Packers, Jets, Vikings. Rodgers is just a step away from finishing that whole thing. But that there's some external belief that J.J. McCarthy just might not be ready, even though it was literally just a meniscus this last year. I think that Minnesota is going to go the direction of going with JJ, and more than likely what they sign in Minnesota is going to be like a Desmond Ridder and a Carson Wentz to be kind of a backup and a growth pieces in that quarterback room. I don't think Rodgers to Minnesota really has any validity other than being like, hey, look at all the weaponry they got and he's indoors and the storyline. I think in reality, it's probably going to be Pittsburgh.
And then you would have to think about, okay, well, what are Aaron Rodgers' intentions here? Because if he's going there, it's like
I don't think he's going to Pittsburgh. That's what's taking so long.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how important is it to him that he's going to be the starting quarterback, that he's going to be QB1?
I don't think he's signing somewhere that's not promising him that.
Well, I don't think that Minnesota can afford to promise him that.
They do have what, 5 years of control for JJ McCarthy, so they can they can do whatever they want, to be honest. But
what does that say about McCarthy?
The kid's back now. I mean, he joined the team back in like what, week 14, 15. He started roaming the sidelines and being back with the team. So
yeah.
He's going to be 100% by fall camp. He's undersized, first off. McCarthy is. He's a mobile quarterback. He needed a year. Would it hurt him to get two? Like, I know in the modern day, this isn't something that we see very often, a guy even sitting for 1 year, but has it hurt? Think of the guys that have sat for 2 years. Rodgers sat for multiple, Love sat for multiple, Mahomes sat for one. Like, I know those are what those cases are, but I don't think it would hurt him as much to be like, hey, man, so once in a lifetime opportunity, once in a decade opportunity, we're going to bring Rodgers in here. And guess what, man? The guy hasn't been able to stay completely healthy the last couple of years. So we're just going to do what we got to do. You have our full support. We're going to roll with Rodgers from day one. And if something happens, just know this is your football team, JJ, for the next decade. I think that would be my plan of attack. And I'd just be like, this is a rare situation. If it even is capable. I don't even know what like the numbers are going to look like with a Rodgers, given what we've seen so far in the space. Like, I don't think it's going to be I don't think he's in a situation to be able to say 45-50. I think
he's going
to
say 20. He's probably at 27.
Yeah, I was going to say in a place to get 25 with like $10 million in escalator incentives type of situation. That's kind of where I would project him, but maybe he doesn't want to accept that. I don't know.
Do you think that the Vikings with what they've done so far, like what are they in position to make that kind of expenditure?
Yeah, I mean, they had $58 million before the moves they made, which was re-signing Aaron Rodgers' buddy, Aaron Jones, to $10 million per year. They got Will Fries, I think a 5-year, $88 million deal, so that's a pretty big deal. Ryan Kelly, a two-year deal. I think they probably spent around 35, so they probably have around 25 to boot. So the cap is a myth. Like, if they're going to sign, I think that there's no reason they couldn't make something work for a 1-year deal with the Rodgers if they really wanted it to work, you know?
And I've been so like some of these deals, I've been so like just like the sticker shock looking at some of these things. Aaron Jones being one of them, to some degree, Josh Palmer getting nearly $40 million over three. Like, but then I just keep reminding myself, I'm like, dude, this is why these guys always come back to the negotiating table a few years after they sign their contracts, because the cap keeps going up.
And Palmer's deal is not that big though.
Well, it's just, but for a guy that's just.
It's 12 you know, million per year. It's like, that's like pity money.
Well, do you think Josh Palmer's worth 12 million a year?
Well, I think in Darius Slayton got 12 million per year. Same exact
deal. His is only 1 year, correct?
No, same exact deal. 3 for 36.
Same deal. Slayton was only 1 year.
That's what I'm saying. So like, remember a couple years ago when Christian Kirk got that 20 mil per year deal to go to Jacksonville, it was like, everyone's just getting 20 million now. It's like, well, Christian
Kirk did that.
Has legs to stand on. Now it's like 12 million is becoming like 10 million, 12 million. And there's a clear tier in like age, I guess, for like a Slayton and a Palmer in comparison to, I mean, De'Ami Brown got 10 million, 1 year, 10 million.
Seems insane.
You look at the old dudes,
Atwell like, got 10 million.
Mac Hollins is getting 4, right? You got the ones that happened today at receiver, like Zay Jones got 4. Dante Pettis, that number hasn't come out. DeAndre Hopkins was it $8 million? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 3.5. Like, these are deals where it's like you can – it's definitely a tier below Palmer. But I will agree with you. The numbers are substantially apart. Like, it's like 4 million to 14 – or to 12 million and from 12 million to like 20 million. There's no like in between anywhere.
Yeah, it's just wild. But the reason why we're taking this kind of circuitous route, it's about Rodgers and it's about the Steelers, right? Or it's about the Giants and how we can project these things. And whenever we think about Gainwell going to the Steelers, how that would affect Jaylen Warren. And whether or not you know, all of a sudden pick 21 now at this point. You got Jaylen Warren, you got Kenneth Gainwell. Can pick 21 really be that they're 21, right? Can that really be an Omarion Hampton or a Travion Henderson or something like that? Can you really afford to do that at this point? And then it's like what me and Matt used to when I would do the shows with Matt on the Sirius show, or I go on his show. We talk about like the old meat shield, right? It's like you have these guys that come in, and it's like a Kenneth Gainwell. If you're Jaylen Warren, it's almost like he shields you off a little bit from the super high draft capital rookie coming in and you know, he kind of helps you in the old Neo thing where you're just having to dodge these bullets through the free agency and through the draft in order to work your way. You come in at RB1.
I think I disagree. I think I do now after you said it that way, because I had this conversation with Trashman 2 weeks ago about the running backs in the NFL that have meat shields and that don't have any protection. We should not be talking about Jaylen Warren or Kenny Gainwell or anything in this backfield with any protection, because protection and a meat shield is Tyler Allgeier around Bijan Robinson. Blockading, that's a blockade. Like, there's nothing
– that's almost – that's a pesky one that hurts you in fantasy.
Montgomery in Detroit, right, you looked at him and you were like, man, that's a dude. He's probably shielded because, you know, there's guys that they like there, like, you know, Craig Reynolds and stuff like this. And it's like – and I know I'm putting Craig Reynolds and Kenny Gainwell and Craig Reynolds and Jaylen Warren in the same sentence, but that's facts. And they even go out and spend a 14th overall pick on Jahmyr Gibbs. And so while I was with you until my brain registered it, I kind of think that there is still potential that they go and use that first-round pick or maybe something in the early part of the second on a Henderson, Judkins, Caleb Johnson, Omarion Hampton, like use something on a high-end. Because, like, say that to yourself again. Jaylen Warren and Kenny Gainwell are going to leave my – no.
Well, I just think, Cody, that you and I, if you just look on X and you hear what people are saying on there, and I understand that you and I have successfully done a good job fading Jaylen Warren in fantasy every year that people try and sell us that he's one of the best statistical running backs as far as his underlying analytics and all of the sport. Like, we've been successful in fading that. We've just been like, nah, it's like, we're not going to, no one's leading us down this dang primrose path here. We're not doing this, right? I'm starting to think as I'm looking at the best ball cheat sheet now. We're not gonna be able to get up as high. People are gonna get high on Jaylen Warren, especially if Aaron Rodgers goes there. Because if you just look at what the Jets last year, what they were either fourth and fifth as far as targets to the running back position. And look, I know that they had Breece Hall, but dude, Braylon Allen, honestly, for a guy whenever I saw him at the combine. And I was like, dude, this guy might have been the worst hands in a live throwing and catching session against air that I've ever seen or heard really. Just ball slaps off his hands, flies everywhere, terrible framing. And obviously he looked better catching the football once he got to the NFL. That was a little bit deceiving, that workout at the combine. But, you know, I wouldn't expect, you know, if you just look at the top three running backs across any NFL team last year and just take their total number of targets, Aaron Rodgers really throws to these guys. He's had a history of doing it. Jaylen Warren can catch. You know, people are going to put together all this stuff. They're going to spin up a tale in their mind. And you can look it up on X. I guarantee you right now, look up Jaylen Warren, RB1.
Here's the thing.
I saw somebody today saying that he has upside to be an RB1 next year.
Here's my favorite part. Don't care. Don't care what any of them say. Don't care. You know why? Because we go to training camps. I go to the Steelers training camps. We know Jaylen Warren's a good football player. If they want to get over their skis and blow this ADP up, I'm cool sitting on this side. I'm A-okay with it. If they want to do it, they can do it. But I think, I mean, my thoughts, my knowledge, my view on the situation is have at it. Go eat your lunch. Have your ice cream. I'm going to have mine. And that's not going to be getting overextended on a Jaylen Warren.
So, all right. So even before all this, so right now, Jaylen Warren has an ADP of 86.4. He was going in this area where I have zero interest in really any of these guys. Travis Etienne, Ramondre Stevenson, Jaylen Warren, maybe a little more interest in a Tony Pollard, right? No interest in Pacheco. Interested in Najee Harris, but this 97 ADP of his right now on Underdog, that's a trailing ADP. And what we mean when we say these trailing ADPs is that it's taking into account average draft position that took place in drafts wherever there was a lot of uncertainty about him before, what was going to happen, all the rest. Clearly, his value has gone up. And so that ADP doesn't match where he's going right now in drafts. And there's also trailing ADP data that goes the other way, right? So when we talk about like George Pickens' trailing ADP data, we're talking about, okay, his ADP is going to be higher than you're going to see him going drafts right now because he's got the trailing ADP data from when people were drafting him without knowledge that DK Metcalf was coming to town and maybe he's going to get traded away and his whole who knows what's going to happen, right? So I think that Jaylen Warren right now at that, what, 86, something like that, talking, what, into the 7-8 turn, he's the king of the trailing ADP stuff as far as, you know, where he's going right now is just different. And I'm telling you, you're starting to hear this stuff where you need to treat him like an RB2. And I know what I'm going to start hearing next as part of this narrative. People are going to go and they're going to reverse engineer this thing to where they're going to go looking for anything they can to support their case that they've gone by the whole time and look at the forced missed tackles, look at the elusive rating, look at all the rest of this stuff. And I see that we have a super chat and thank you very much, Jeff. We're going to get to you here in just 1 second. And Rodgers is going to go there and they're going to talk about how Rodgers targets the running backs. And they're like, I'm just saying like, but I get what you're saying. You're saying all this analysis doesn't matter because he's like, we're not going to be able to get him on the best ball cheat sheet in a spot that's going to stay ahead of the hype. And the hype train is all going to come from guys who are fantasy analysts who look at these advanced analytics. And those are the people who have influence and that's going to shift ADP. And all of a sudden people are going to say like, you should take him ahead of Chuba Hubbard or something.
Correct. And I think you're going to see over the course of the next 6 weeks, as we get 6 weeks out from the draft tomorrow, Thursday, is he's going to put himself up into that next tier in conversation because of the ADP rise. People are just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And then that's when you're going to see the pullback. And when I look at the grouping we have him in right now in the best ball cheat sheet, you know, the Aaron Joneses of the world, the DeAndre Swifts of the world, Travis Etienne's of the world. What Aaron Jones has by re-signing a 2-year $20 million deal in Minnesota is they're not spending a first-round pick on a running back. What DeAndre Swift has being in Chicago in that pass-catching role under Ben Johnson is they're not spending a first-round pick on a bulldozer between the tackle grinder. They may go get one in the third or fourth, but they're not going to do it in the first. And when you look at Travis Etienne, he has, you know, a co-back right now in Tank Bigsby, a between the tackles grinder. And this offense we think is going to be a little more efficient, we hope, with Liam Cohen. Like those three backs that I just named off, Jones, Swift, Etienne, all pass-catching backs, all guys I would prefer to Warren right now, head and shoulders. So when I watch that Jaylen Warren ADP go up and I still see people worried about Minnesota and Chicago drafting running backs, I'm just going to go, okay, well, I'm just going to sit here and draft these guys instead. Because I, like I said, you can have your 65, you know, catches out 60, if you're lucky, 60, 65 catches out of the backfield from Aaron Rodgers. But I know they're going to go get a 225 pound back in this draft.
You know that they're going to go and get a 225 pound back. You just think like,
I mean, well, first off, there's like literally a dozen 225 pound backs. So whether it's Omarion Hampton, Judkins, Caleb Johnson, Ollie Gordon, Cam Scatabo, Damian Martinez, Jaquindon Jackson late, like they're going to get a bulldozer. They're going to get somebody that they believe in, that they like, that they prospect as the Najee role. Jalen Warren's not going to get the Najee role. And, I mean, do you think Cordarrelle Patterson's going to get it? He's under contract. I don't think Cordarrelle Patterson's going to get it.
No.
They're getting somebody that can do that. So if you want a pass catcher and somebody you're going to watch that Warren stuff go
that,
up.
Are you somebody that could – but you say somebody that can do that. I mean, Cody, like what Najee's done, I mean, say what you will about his efficiency or the like effectiveness or whatever, but he's a guy. You're saying if that's the case, like that's going to be one of the most valuable rookies there is because he might be more talented than Najee. And if he gets a similar workload, we can count on 19, you know, put his over under 19.5 touches a game. It's like, it feels like Jalen Warren's role is going to have to expand.
Sure. It can expand, but it's not going to be Jalen. It's not going to be the Najee role.
What do you think about the Tyrone Tracy rule? Jeff D'Agostino says that he's the next Tiki Barber and then gives the peeping eyes emoji. Thank you very much for the thank you so much for the super chat, dude.
Yes, thank you for the super chat. I think that maybe how he's coming off with this, because they're not the same player, body type or play style, but like the next good giant running back, 100%, man. I agree with that. We love us some Tyrone Tracy. So I'll be interested to see kind of how this team's got a lot of things that need to be fulfilled over the course of the next couple of months. But I like Tyrone Tracy a lot.
This is an interesting question from over on X. Shout out to everybody watching on X, man. Looks like we're creeping up towards 600 people watching live right now. So we really, really appreciate you guys. And everybody that's going to listen to this on podcast later, thanks to you guys. While we're talking about that, if you could please remember to like the show and subscribe to the channel. We're putting a lot of effort into the show, bringing it to you daily. And the likes and the subscribes are what really helps and are the drivers that let us know that you want us to keep doing it and putting this level of effort into it. So please like the show, subscribe to the channel, send us super chats. And if you're watching on X, just keep on coming back and make sure and follow us over there.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Is Najee a sell high right now before the draft in Dynasty? What kind of stuff? I'll go and see if I can look at some of these like recent Dynasty trades that have involved Najee.
His keep trade cut is at 115 overall. Keep trade cut is a Dynasty platform that engages in community usage. So they go in, they give you three players, keep one, trade one, cut one, and then it's an aggregate value. Has him at running back 28 overall right now in Dynasty, player 115 and one quarterback. This equates to James Conner. Travis Etienne's a touch behind him, just below Michael Pittman. Matthew Golden's plugged in here, just behind Matthew Golden. Two running backs behind Trey Benson, equal to Devontae Adams. Michael Pittman, like I said, early second-round picks in 2026, mid-second-round picks in 2025. Would you trade Najee for all of those things?
I'm seeing right now there's not that many with Najee Harris as far as just kind of searching the my fantasy league stuff, but it does go along with what 2025 second round, the 210 and 2025 straight up, that falls in about line with what you were saying as far as the keep trade cut, right?
Yeah, I mean.
It's tough because that gets us into okay, if it's let's just pretend that we think it's a one quarterback league. So Jenty, Hampton, the Ohio State guys, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Caleb Johnson from Iowa. Probably now Bashaul Tutin from Virginia Tech is going to be going in at least the early second, I would think, right? I think that the guy's going in the first right now. You know that somehow Tyler Warren's going to probably go in the first of these things. You're probably going to get at least one of the quarterbacks. So that's one, two. Then you got Jenty, Hampton, Judkins, Henderson, Caleb. Then you're going to have Ted McMillan's going to go in the first. Travis Hunter's going to go in the first. I think Matthew Golden at this point is probably going to be thought about as maybe going in the first. I know that Emeka Ebuka is probably going to go a little bit before him. Luther Burden is going to be right there around those guys. So that's like 13, 14 guys that I just listed off. So we're already now to 202, 203.
Yep.
And you get to 203, and now you're telling me I can start going with the Dylan Sampson's or the RJ Harvey's. You mentioned Ollie Gordon, Breshard Smith, Scadaboo, Dylan Sampson. I'm super interested in. Did I say Jarquez Hunter?
I don't know.
You can probably get him a little bit later.
When he lists off like 20 dudes.
Well,
that's kind of where it's at though.
Do you want those guys more than how old is Najee, did we say yesterday? Is he 26?
I think he's in season age 27 this year. I think I want two more years of Najee in Los Angeles.
I think I do too.
Over Jarquez Hunter. I love Jarquez.
Now, if I can get like the 201.
100% push. Yeah, I'll take that.
But it does feel like – it's kind of like that. I think I would take RJ Harvey. You know, I think I would, but that's just about where it's gonna land for me. And I think in one quarterback rookie drafts, I don't have a crystal ball, and I haven't done a ton of rookie mocks. I'm up to my ears in just scouting these guys and going to the events and trying to get the best ball stuff out. But I would think RJ Harvey's probably gonna be. I've been kind of thinking in my head about I'm hoping I can get him in the early second. Maybe he'll fall to mid-second. And that's kind of the line for me. So it needs to be early second for me. And it needs to be better than the RJ Harvey line where I think he might fall.
I've done a couple of mocks with the DLF guys, our man Ryan McDowell, and in the Superflex draft, Harvey went off at 206 in one QB. This was in late February. February, pre combine, he was 404. I mean, that was pre-combine.
Did
people now in Superflex in March, he went up to 206 in Superflex.
In Superflex. So you have two quarterbacks going even before that. So well, that's like a 204.
So yeah, Cam Ward went, Shador went, and Jackson Dart went. So you could hypothetically push him to like 203.
So my analysis was just spot on.
I was also the guy that took him though at 206.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well,
I mean, like when you think about like, that's like, look at the guys that went before him. It was like everybody you expect. Plus Devin Neal's one of those guys, which isn't going to be consistent.
No.
Theo Manor's going to be one of those guys, which
is not going to be consistent. That's bad. Dude, you can't be taking wide receivers right there in dynasty rookie drafts this year.
Correct.
But like I said, I haven't done many of them, but I know how they're going to go and they shouldn't go like that.
You draft you draft with donks, man. Donks draft. That's the thing. That's part of real life fantasy is that you draft against donkeys that don't know these guys. So
do you want to get hurt so bad about the proper draft strategy this year in rookie drafts? I'm not going to get any Jalen Knoll or Trey Harris.
No,
and those are two guys that I really like, but you can't get Jaden Higgins, and you can't take them. Like I don't even think you could take Jack Besh or like Iron Man or any of these guys.
Besh maybe
because maybe he'll. But here's the thing: he falls to the fourth, and you're staring down. And who knows? We'll have. You're in the fourth, and then you're like, well, do I really want him, or do I want DJ Giddens or Damian Martinez or like Rocket Sanders or Devin Neal that ran slow?
Dude, Breshard Smith, Trevor Etienne, late fourth round picks.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm not taking Jack Besh. Not in Dynasty, dude. I'll wait for 2026 and 2027 as far as loading back up with my stud young white. 2027 is going to be the year. Right, we've talked about it before, but dude, Ryan Williams from Alabama, Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State, Ryan Wingo from Texas, just
Cam Coleman,
Auburn, right? Insane draft class that year, and I think 2026 is at least going to be better than 2025, right? Have you kind of inventoried that in your mind yet?
From a receiver standpoint?
Yeah. I've inventoried it a little bit in my mind, but I haven't gone through it with a fine-tooth comb and said like it's definitely gonna be a lot better.
I'm trying to think at the top of the food chain. Because really what it is, like I think the depth of all these classes is always gonna be fine. But from a top of the food chain standpoint, it really depends on a couple of guys, like a Zachariah Branch at Georgia. Carnell Tate at Ohio State. Like, if one of these guys,
they're both going to be super sick.
Are they going to be super sick? Because Branch might weigh 158 pounds, right? And Carnell Tate, like, he doesn't have some of the things. He's not as dynamic as like a Chase or like a Garrett Wilson or like a Marv. Like, he's not different. You know what I'm saying? So it may be similar to this year.
What about the NC State guy? What's his name?
Concepcion.
Concepcion.
He's at A&M now.
How did I forget that?
I mean, we lost Jonte Cook. Jonte Cook was kind of supposed to be potentially like the marauder of the class.
But there's where did the Georgia Tech guy, Eric Singleton? Where did he go again?
He's at Auburn. Evan Stewart, I guess, if Evan Stewart takes a step forward, Evan Stewart could be that guy.
What's his name? Can take Notre Dame from Westlake High School, Jaden Greathouse.
Yeah.
He broke out towards the end of the season. I think he's probably better next year.
What would really put that class over the top, to be honest with ourselves, is if Nick Harbor from South Carolina, if that South Carolina team is good and Nick Harbor, who's like 6'5", 235, and his 100 meter is like 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
that could be like the marauder of the, that could be something that really takes that class up. And, but he hasn't really, you know, he started to break out the, at the back end of last year.
But isn't he kind of like a tight end?
Dude, he runs a 10-1.
But he's big, right?
I mean, so was Megatron.
fair enough. Dude.
Like when if you got speed, you can be a little
bit. He's got better quarterback play than Megatron had too, for sure.
Oh gosh, yeah, hilariously better in college.
All right, so that's how good. All right, so what about these sleepers in best ball? Before we get into that, do we need to just talk through any more? So MVS joining apparently an all hyphenated wide receiver core in Seattle, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marquez Valdez Scantling. I saw some buzz earlier. Maybe I was just trying to get caught up on any signings I might have missed, and then there was speculation that, like, could Cooper Kupp end up in Seattle?
That could be interesting.
Yeah, but I think that
what was JSN's slot rate last year?
I don't know off the top of my head. I can probably go find it.
I'll pull it up here.
Let's see.
I was wondering this earlier because our guy Maddie replied to our tweet today about Seattle, and I was like, man, what was the 74% slot rate? So if Kupp goes
That's a little higher than I would have thought.
If that's what I thought too. If Kupp goes to Seattle, you would almost have to be like, hey Jackson, you are full time outside. You need to be alpha. You are alpha now. And I would love that.
Kupp didn't always play slot, right? That's the thing with him and Fuka. They both played Z and slot.
But he's getting up there, man. I would love to.
My thing about Kupp is this: no one knows better than the Rams about where he's at, and he's a lifetime Ram. They love him. He wants to be there. And I was thinking to myself, well, he's just too old now. How old is he? Look at this sheet. Is he 31?
Kupp is 32. Age 32.
So this is age 32 season. That's the same as Devontae, right? Yeah, age 33 season for Devontae. So if you're just thinking about this from like, what is the – man, what do they know –
what do they know that we don't?
But yeah, right. What do they know that we don't? Because at first I was thinking to myself, man, he's getting too old. You know, they don't want to depend on this guy. They give him any kind of substantial contract for the next couple of years, and they probably want to move on, maybe get younger. Then they bring in Devontae Adams. And so I don't think that they would – look, I think that we can all probably say that Devontae Adams, as far as – the way that he looked last year was probably better than the way that Cooper Kupp looked last year. I think that our eyeballs can tell us that, right? But I don't think from a pure body of work standpoint, Cooper Kupp has been like a Super Bowl MVP, and he's had these monster, just unbelievable seasons. And I know that Devontae Adams has too. I think probably if you're an alien that comes down from outer space and you can just judge these two players' body of work and how they're viewed and stuff like that, you probably say that Devontae Adams has been the more prolific and better wide receiver over his career.
You say that?
It wouldn't be just a layup. I think you would have to at least defend your position one way or the other on that.
I bet their all-time numbers are really close. As far as
I didn't look at it before the show, of course, because we have no show sheet and we're not organized at all.
as far as fantasy output, though, I think you take the Kupp side, right?
What?
As far as fantasy output, you take the Kupp side, right?
Remember, Kupp didn't come into the league until he was 25. So
Adams didn't break out until he was 25.
Well, that's true. I mean, there was a time there whenever they were was just frustrated with him. So I don't know.
Age 24, actually. Lie.
Regardless, the whole point is, it obviously wasn't just this thing where they're just like, we can't have a 32-year-old. We can't have a. It was something about like we definitely we kind of don't want to pay Cup. And so I'll be interested to see, you know, man, he's the golden son. I hope he ends up in a good spot, and I hope he can play well. And I know that he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and all the rest of it. But I guess this is a long way of saying I don't know if he went to Seattle, if he would just have to play only slot, or whether he's still capable of moving around and doing everything that a team would ask of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you get older in your career, as your body begins to do what bodies do, you become a little bit more limited in the things you can do. And I think that makes you a little bit more limited in your openness to certain roles and your versatility to even contribute in those certain roles. So yeah, I think that might be a definite concern about JSN and what Cooper Kupp landing there would mean for him.
Devonta Adams has almost 12,000 career receiving yards. Kupp is at 7,700. Wild stat, a part of this. In three fewer seasons played, Justin Jefferson is 300 yards behind Kupp.
Golly, it just goes to show, dude.
That is nuts.
Okay. What about wasn't there a Dolphins signing?
Dolphins signed Nick Westbrook Akine. I think that was 2 years nine or 2 years eight, something like this. Very piddly, but kind of we can lump it in with the DeMarcus Robinson to the Niners. Two guys that got like small deals, $4.5 million per, something like this. And
DeMarcus Robinson is only $3 million guaranteed per.
Okay, that's what that – okay. But I think that both guys classify as threes, three slash fours, right? Kind of like MVS gets $5.5 million. He's like a three slash four with obviously deep flanker ability. I think that Westbrook Akine probably goes in there on day one and he probably steps into that number three spot, probably ahead of Malik Washington, kind of the role they've been trying to fill with like an OBJ and things like this. He gets 2 years, $6.5 million. DeMarcus Robinson gets 2 years, $9.5 million. So he got less, $3 million less than Robinson. But I like the Westbrook fit, to be honest with you, because you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle haven't exactly been the healthiest of guys. DeMarcus Robinson, I think, is interesting. I think that we talked about it in our text chat last night. Like, I just think it gives the Niners a sense of comfortability and veteran in that room, so that if they did want to make a move with Brandon Ayuk, there wouldn't be such a pressure and be like, man, all we got is Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. Like, we have to draft somebody early. I think you have a little sense of little easement if you hypothetically moved off of Ayuk. And then the other one we're forgetting to bring up is Van Jefferson got $2.5 million for the Titans. So there's just a group of Trent Sherman got more money than Van Jefferson.
I mean, the 49ers, it makes sense, because the only guys behind, you know, if the front line is going to be Ayuk, Pearsall, and Juwan Jennings, the only guys that they even had behind them.
Is it like Ronnie Bell?
Prior to yesterday. Is Ronnie Bell still even on the roster?
I don't know.
I know Jacob Cowing's on the roster. He was a fourth round pick last year out of Arizona. Was that Arizona State or Arizona?
Arizona, yeah.
And then Chris Conley is on the roster now. But that was it. It looks like here. Let me just look and see if they have anybody who's on injured reserve or so. In reserve, they do have Russell Gage. So he's still kicking around. So yeah, I mean, that makes sense as far as the whole DeMarcus Robinson thing. I don't know if I think that I don't know about the whole Brandon Ayuk thing. So is that much appetite for Brandon Ayuk?
Vrabel has talked about getting an alpha. The rumor was that they offered a ton more money than Tampa did for Chris Godwin. Didn't work out. We assume they were in the DK Metcalf conversation because that was kind of some rumors that came out. They didn't get him. Who know? Like, it feels like kind of the last two opportunities to make a big move would be if you're not going to like sign like a Stephon Diggs or something, which I don't think you want to put in that locker room with a young team trying to build up and really knock Drake May and see what happens there. But would be like, can you go get an Ayuk? Can you go get a Pickens? Would be like my thoughts for New England. Like, those two guys classify pretty much as alphas, pretty much. Not my preferred alphas. I like Ayuk in that, you know, he fits an A.J. Brown role. That's what Vrabel wants.
Have you seen Brandon Ayuk's contract?
Yeah, he got it last year, right?
So I mean, it's like he goes from being at this year. So this year he's only an $11.2 million cap hit. In 2026, he's a $6.23 million cap hit. In 2027, when he turns 29, he's a $42 million cap hit with only 9.2 dead. So it's not like a terrible. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like it's a terrible contract to have, at least right now, man. But it has the old, like, it's like the old mortgage payment on the old balloon payment on the mortgage, man. It can come, that's going to come and smack you in the face there in his age 29 season being 2027. That thing, it looks like the potential out is before the 2027 season. I don't know what kind of, because if any team that he gets traded to, they're going to want an immediate restructure of that thing.
He just got one. Like, he literally just got one. Remember?
I don't know. The contract, as I'm looking at it, doesn't make much sense to me. I would think that he'd want to get that redone to some degree. Now he does have 76 million guaranteed as far as the contract. So that would mean it would basically be like it still gives him a way to get out prior to. Now, if you have to keep him through 2026, but it still gives you a definite out prior to 2027. Weird. And it was only $45 million guaranteed as far as at signing. So that's already been paid out.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. So best ball, late round sleepers. Who's going to win your league?
We talked through those running backs. I guess – when I look at the cheat sheet, so you've built the whole thing. I've kind of come in. I'm just kind of like looking at it, and where I think that there's value seems definitely to be down in that, I guess you'd call it maybe a third tier. If you look at the whole thing as like four big tiers, to me, it's that third tier where the quarterbacks obviously start to pop their head up. And I just look at the quarterbacks and the situations. And the first thing that comes to mind when I look at quarterbacks is what is their surrounding cast, right? And it's like, I see Michael Penix down there, and I don't even know what number he is officially off the board at quarterback. It's number 20. He's QB 20 right now. And he's right around Stafford, Darnold, Lawrence, Stroud. I don't know. Part of me loves Michael Penix late in these drafts, and I think he's an easy guy to obviously stack with when you think of Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and if you want, I don't really wouldn't stack with that running back, but I'll be interested to see that. Like, I think a Darnell Mooney in that situation, there's a lot of potency available in Atlanta, and I wouldn't be surprised if they added another outside wide receiver that has speed and something that can really stretch the field for Penix. And we saw how important that was at Washington when he had Polk and McMillan and Adunze and a running game and all this stuff built around him with a couple of offensive linemen that got drafted. I think Penix sits in a spot where you're focused early on getting your receivers. You're focused in the middle rounds on getting these rookie running backs, and you may just be able to ship it on quarterback. And this is a guy that's coming off at QB 20, so there's going to be times when you're going to get him in the last couple of rounds, and maybe he's not even going to get touched because teams generally in one QB best ball, you know, maybe get a second quarterback. And he's a guy that I think deserves to be drafted.
Can you talk about one more guy you like? Because my mouse just ran out of juice, and I need to go get a battery pack. So just talk about one more guy. Okay.
100%. I think when you also are scrolling through like wide receiver, and when you also look, like I talk about quarterback and finding and thinking initially of like guys that are around them, think of outliers at the wide receiver position, in rookie specifically. In that, I think Isaiah Bond right now, who's currently coming off the board in best ball at 176. That's where he's kind of projected. This is in the conversations of the Romeo Dobbses, the Wandell Robinsons, the Mario Douglases, the Adonai Mitchells. And this is a guy that when he's healthy, he's on. And he ran a 4.41 at the combine, but ran 24 miles an hour, 24.1 miles an hour, which was the second fastest at the combine this year. And the only other receiver in the last 2 years that's done that was Xavier Worthy. And I think Bond is suffering from some depression in value post combine, where you're going to see him get drafted on day two. He's not going to be a day one pick anymore because he didn't run fast enough. But his pro day is in 2 weeks. You're seeing some depression here with Isaiah Bond, that when draft night comes around, it's going to allow a team with a talented quarterback, with a role that needs to be filled from a speed perspective. So, like, for example, I brought up Atlanta a second ago. Like, an Atlanta could use a speed piece in that offense. You think of like a Las Vegas where they just got Geno Smith. Think about like a speed piece or like a Tyler Lockett type. You think of some of these offenses, like even you go to the Chargers, who have had like a Darius Davis, and they have had these speed pieces, but they just watched Joshua Palmer walk out the door. Or even the Rams, who have a good quarterback. Like, all these different situations, I can sit and list one at a time with good quarterbacks and good situations in domes and things like this, where Isaiah Bond is a guy I want in best ball drafts 100%. He's going off at 176 right now. It's like the receivers around him, for me specifically, when I look at best ball, I don't think of drafting, not even register, a Thielen, a Dobbs, Amari Cooper, Jordan Whittington, Josh Palmer. Like, these guys don't get me to a point where I'm like, yeah, man, I want that guy on my best ball team because he's going to catch four footballs for 40 yards. Like, I think of guys that have dynamism with the ball in their hands. I think of Isaiah Bond, who can take a ball to the house from 75 out. So Bond and Penix probably right now are my two favorite values late in underdog drafts.
Okay. There's a play here that I like that I think might have gotten a little bit messed up here on the sheet that I'm going to need to go and fix. I can't do it right now because of the stupid mouse, but it comes in the area of right there where yours is right now, Cody. And Cody, you're going to have to take over with getting us out of the show here in a second and stuff, because I can't push any buttons.
Okay.
But for me, I'll say these two guys. Whenever you get down to this area, wherever, you know, people are going to be taking their Wandale Robinsons and their Xavier Restrepos, and even where Cody just mentioned, you know, Isaiah Bond, and people are taking in that area like Dontavian Wicks and stuff like that, right? I have it built into the sheet to where you should just take more running backs there, and Jarquez Hunter from Auburn, and Trevor Etienne from Georgia. It feels like people are a little bit down on Etienne because he only had the big games this year. It felt like he played Texas and he just drank Superman juice, right? Just really up and down. I even asked him, I said, what is it about Texas? Like, what did you put in your cereal that day? He's like, man, I'm fire. I wish I would have known. Like, I wish I would have been more consistent this year for sure. But if we know anything about the NFL, they care so much about your, like, your bloodlines and your pedigree and stuff like that. They care that you're from a football family. They want you. It feels like a little bit more of a guarantee on the box that, you know, you've got a brother that's in the league right now. Of course, Travis Etienne, and you're gonna come in at least knowing what to expect and not be completely out of your depth. And then with Jarquez Hunter, I can think back to it like all year long. I would get on Wednesdays on the SEC media calls and just listen to the coaches, right? You get each coach, what was Cody, 15 minutes with each coach. And, and you get to hear from all 16 of them every week, whether they're on bye or whatever. And man, every time there was somebody having to face them, every coach would just start out with saying, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to stop Jarquez Hunter, of course. You know, it was front of mind for every coach. And that just, I can't tell you how much that stuck with me. And I loved him at the Senior Bowl. It looked good enough to me through every step of the process. And you can get him super late. And so what I built in for now on this is like a couple of late round tight ends that I also like. I've manually manufactured a way where I can bump them up to where whenever you get to this area of the draft and you'll have to download the cheat sheet to sort of see, you're going to have life vests at running back in case you're a little bit thin, and at tight end in case you're a little bit thin. And the tight ends that I like are Hunter Henry, in New England and Brenton Strange in Jacksonville. I've talked a little bit about why I like Strange, just the fact that he gets 4x the targets whenever Evan Engram's not there. And with Hunter Henry, I'm like, man, if we're buying in to Drake May and him taking a step and him being actually good, which I think he is, his receivers stink. They don't really have much else there. And we've at least seen flashes and we've seen some pop from Hunter Henry, especially whenever May's been under center. So those four guys, that little four pick cluster right there, I think they're great values. And they could be real lifesavers, life vests, life rafts for you in these best ball drafts whenever you're trying to make sure that your allocations across the positions all work out.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.